Alright, creatures of the night, welcome to Talking Taker, episode 114 of our encyclopedic exploration digging of the career of the greatest professional wrestling character of all time. My name is Alex Dorio, and I want to thank you for joining us for yet another round of Dead Man Talking. And I am not joined today by my tag team partner, my wrestling buddy, Mr. Travis White. I've got a couple other special guests joining me, and let me explain to you why. We kind of mentioned it last week, but in case you didn't hear it, Travis is out of town. He's on vacation with the family this week, and we did try to plan ahead for this one. We were supposed to record two episodes last week to keep this journey rolling onto the last ride, and we were going to close out the year 2005, the final match in the Undertaker Randy Orton quadrilogy here, their Hell in a Cell battle at Armageddon 2005. We had watched all the build-up, watched the match, had our notes ready to go. And, well, I'll go into the weeds here and explain exactly what happened here. This one's totally my fault. You see, we record here every week through Skype. Travis is over in Tennessee, and I am in Georgia. So we get on Skype and use a Skype recording app. It records the file as like an MP3 file, and then I run that file through GarageBand. I edit it, try to get out all the dead spaces or anything that goes wrong in the audio, splice in the extra sound clips and actual footage of Undertaker and all that fun stuff that gives the show that little extra punch and all the music and all that good stuff. And then we upload it onto Podbean and it sends it out into the world every late Thursday night, early Friday morning, whenever we get it out there. Well, we recorded that episode, last week's episode, on No Mercy, and had it done early. And what I did accidentally was I was cleaning out some files on my computer. These podcast files, they end up eating up a lot of space on my hard drive. And so I usually go back and delete them every couple weeks so they don't eat up too much space. Well, as I was deleting stuff, I deleted that original No Mercy podcast file before I had a chance to go in and edit it and save it and upload it. I completely forgot. I thought I was deleting the SummerSlam file from the week before, and I actually deleted the No Mercy file. I seriously deleted it, emptied the recycle bin, all that stuff. Didn't have a cloud backup, which I was talking with someone today, and I realized that's what I really need to do to save my butt on stuff like this, but didn't have it. It was gone, completely gone. So instead of going and recording that Armageddon episode last week, we went and re-recorded that No Mercy episode. So you got the second edition of that one, folks. The original one was lost to time. And, you know, unbelievably, that is, after 114 episodes now, that was the second time that has happened, which I guess you could look at it as, wow, I can't believe you did that twice, or, yeah, maybe, hey, I only did that twice. That's how I'm going to look at it, because I am not a professional podcaster, neither is Travis. We try to mention that quite a bit on here. This is a hobby for us. You can probably tell that from all the creaks and cracks of my table that I podcast at that you hear every week, or the dogs barking in the background, and you hear Tiger and Rosie, or Travis's baby back in the days, or the train running through the background of the podcast. And so you could tell, you know, we're just amateurs at this, and we appreciate you guys bearing with us, you know, all those imperfections that we have. So yeah, second time that's happened, but this will be the first time in 114 episodes and over 2 years of doing this that we will not be putting out the one of our traditional episodes every week through the Undertaker's career, not one of us that we have recorded together, which I think is, you know, pretty impressive if we do say so ourselves. We were like a day late last year, I think it was around the holidays where we couldn't quite get one up, or maybe it was during the summertime. I don't remember when it was, but I know we had one that we put up a day late or something like that because of some, we couldn't find the time to record during that. But, you know, like I said, this did happen before where I deleted a file accidentally as I was clearing out hard drive space that I hadn't edited and saved yet. I can't remember which one it was, but me and Travis always joke about it, that lost episode, because we thought that was one of our best episodes that we ever did. It went off the rails just like early on, and we were both laughing up and cracking up and having a good time. I remember Travis was recording outside, like in his backyard, and it was like, or maybe it was like on the back patio, or maybe it was in his car even, because that's one of the other things that we've had to do in the history of this podcast. We have kind of had to record from weird places and make things happen and find the time and find the place to do it. We both got families. Travis has got 3 kids now. I only had 2 when we started this podcast, but he's added another one. So you kind of squeeze in time and find a quiet place or quieter place whenever you can to do it. But yeah, there was just a thunderstorm going down. You could hear the rain and the lightning pouring and hear the crickets in the background, which you probably heard on some of these episodes before. But for some reason, we thought that episode was great, and then we lost it. So it was lost to time. So in our heads, it was still a great episode. Who knows if it really was? Who knows if any of these are really great episodes? I have no idea. But there you go, folks. 2 years now, and we've never quite missed an episode. And we're not technically going to miss an episode. Like, you've got this new episode in your inbox, but it is going to be a little bit different. Travis is still out with the family. You know, he offered to try and find some time to squeeze it in, but I told him, please don't do that. Please just go be with your family. I don't want your wife to hate me for dragging you away from your family. I insisted that he not try to squeeze it in during this time, and I'd figure something out. And thankfully, our brothers from the Bottom Line Wrestling Podcast are going to join me in just a moment to do something here that we have not done, and that is a watch-along together for a match that, you know, it's just fitting. It's the Undertaker and Stone Cold teaming up. So it's the Undertaker and Stone Cold podcast teaming up. We're going to do a watch-along of the fully loaded 1998 main event, the Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin teaming up for the tag team championships against the champions Mankind and Kane. Going back to just the peak of the Attitude Era, classic moment, classic match. And it'll be fun to join these guys to get their perspective. I'm going to talk to them for a little bit about their podcast and what we do. You know, we plug them, they plug us. I was on their show a couple months ago, so I called in the favor, and they're going to join me, Mike and JV, for this one. So it'll be something fun, a little something different to tide us over until next week when we get back to normal here on the podcast. But before I do bring them on, I just wanted to talk to you guys, explain a little bit about what was going on, and just say thanks to all you creatures of the night. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening to us for the past 2 years straight. I mean, you guys, you really don't miss an episode either. Our numbers are really consistent. They stay the same pretty much every week, which, you know, we'd always love to be growing, and we do see a little bit of growth in there. But, you know, we're not losing numbers either. So we've got a nice, dedicated, loyal fan base, and we love hearing from you guys and interacting with you guys on social media every week and talking about all this stuff. That's been the peak of doing this podcast, really. You know, Travis and I started it as a lark, just having fun, and we have fun. It's a great excuse for us to talk and to get together every week, and we usually talk for like an hour on Skype before we actually get on here and record and catch up on each other's lives. So it's great for us to do that since we live in different states now. And we've told the story, and we're continuing to tell the story of our friendship along the way, as long as we tell the story of The Undertaker as well, because so much of our friendship is intertwined with our love of wrestling. So we go back and revisit where we were in life and in our friendship and in our fandom as long as we go through these matches too. I think that's what hopefully makes our show entertaining and special to you guys. But it's a great excuse for us to get together, but we love the interactions that we've made and the friendships, and you know, they're just online friendships, but you know, those are just as real as anything in today's day and age. So I mean, guys like Mike and JV, who you know, we would have never met or never interacted with without doing this podcast. It's been cool. And all you guys out there, you know who we are, who we interact with every week. And gals, you know, a couple gals out there as well. It's just been really awesome and really special. Like I said, we started this over 2 years ago now. It's funny just talking about the way we record things. I still don't know what I'm doing with podcasts. I've gotten a little bit better, but those first few episodes, you can tell the sound quality really sucks. it's not unlistenable, but it's definitely not at a high quality level. But I was just recording off of the microphone on my MacBook, just recording the Skype call through that. So, you know, you can hear Travis is definitely at a lower level than I am on those first few episodes. And then we finally figured out how to, I downloaded the Skype call recorder and I didn't want to pay for it, but I ended up paying for it. So the sound quality picked up pretty soon after that. I started using a better microphone, and hopefully the show sounds a lot better than it used to, and we've kind of figured those things out along the way. You know, the show's gotten a lot longer. You know, we originally, for the first, I'd say, at least 3, 4, maybe 6 months of doing the show, we tried to keep things, you know, 40 minutes or less, and then under an hour. It was like, oh, it was a big deal when we went over an hour for the first time. And, you know, we wanted to just focus on Undertaker's match-by-match pay-per-view career. If you're new to the show and didn't listen to those early episodes and haven't gone back to listen to those, what are you doing? Come on, that's kind of the whole idea of the podcast. But anyway, yeah, we were just going to go match by match to The Undertaker's career and just focus on the pay-per-view matches, not really on the TV matches. You know, we talk about the build-up and we know there'd be memorable moments to talk about, like obviously the stuff like the Jeff Hardy Undertaker ladder match. You know, that was such an iconic TV match. Or, you know, Undertaker and Stone Cold for the world title on Raw, where Stone Cold won the title from Undertaker on Raw. Yeah, obviously we're going to talk about that stuff, but just focus on the match. We didn't want to be another 3-hour podcast that hit your inbox every week. And we only did that once. We hit 3 hours one time so far. I don't know, maybe, who knows, we may hit that again, but even now we try to keep things concise as possible. We don't want to go over the top with it, but you know, as the show went on and we saw the Undertaker character evolve, and we saw these, especially during this time, the Attitude Era, where the storylines got so much more complex and in-depth and interesting. And you know, I think it was actually Undertaker's feud with Mankind in that first Buried Alive match where we really went in-depth week to week on each segment that built up to the storyline, because those segments were so entertaining. The interviews in the graveyard alternating back and forth between Undertaker and Mankind, there was so much to unpack from those. Some of it just hilarious going back to, but also just awesome and intense and interesting going back to, that we were like, oh, we gotta spend just as much time talking about that as we do the match. And that's where you could kind of see us going week to week, when Undertaker started appearing on Raw every single week and started having build-up and these in-depth feuds and the storyline with Kane and with Stone Cold. And you'll see it intertwine as we talk about it here on this watch-along episode. As we go through the match, we'll talk about that storyline as well. But there was so much to unpack, and the show kind of evolved and kind of, our show evolved and kind of found its voice. We figured out what we were doing through doing that. And now we've kind of figured out that rhythm where we go through week to week, and Travis and I take turns kind of talking about those moments, the whole build-up, the storylines to the feud, and then talk about the match in depth. And, you know, I just, again, wanted to say thanks to everybody out there listening for going along with us as the show grew and evolved, and as it continues to grow and evolve, and we continue to figure it out and have fun with it. Like I said, this is just a silly idea that we hatched. We're not insiders. We're just wrestling fans, lifelong wrestling fans, and not even lifelong Undertaker fans, like super fans. We've met and talked to so many of just really, truly super fans, way more than us. And you guys give us information that we were missing and filling those gaps for us. But we just wanted to do a wrestling podcast. We wanted to find something to talk about, and this idea kind of had it after Travis and I got together and watched WrestleMania 33, and we saw Undertaker lay down his gear in the ring there 2.5 years ago, and we thought, like a lot of other wrestling fans, that was the Undertaker's retirement. He's gone on to have like 10 matches since then that we're gonna have to cover on this show, or get to cover, I'll say that. But, you know, as I drove home from Tennessee the next day, I kind of thought, that would be an interesting podcast idea. I'd never seen a wrestling podcast quite like that, where you go through one career, not just one pay-per-view at a time, not through like the history of WWF or WCW or ECW or Raw or Nitro or Thunder, but just one guy and all his matches. I kind of seen, it was sort of like a trend in podcasts during that time to go episode by episode through a TV series. Like there was an X-Files podcast doing every X-Files episode, and there was like something called Gilmore Guys where it was two guys going through every Gilmore Girls episode that I thought was pretty funny. And, you know, then it was like every TV show had a podcast where we'd go through episode by episode through a TV show. And it just made me think, well, what's a way to do that with wrestling? Well, why not match by match through a guy's career? And what better person than The Undertaker? Because he'd been through so many different eras. He'd touched so many different guys. If you did his pay-per-view career, you'd talk about Hulk Hogan, you'd talk about Bret Hart, you'd talk about Kamala, you'd talk about Giant Gonzalez, Yokozuna, to Stone Cold and The Rock, Jake the Snake, and then guys, you know, like Heidenreich and Luther Reigns and Muhammad Hassan and Mr. Kennedy and Vladimir Kozlov and all these randos, and then up until, you know, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar and people like that. So there'd just be so much meat on the bone to talk about, and there has been, and there still is. You know, I was calculating it up today, we're about two-thirds of the way through this journey. We're not done yet. We're not in the home stretch yet, but we're traveling downhill quickly in this time traveling hearse. And I would say a little bit over a year or so to go, about 60 episodes left. That's barring whatever other matches Undertaker decides to add to that. You know, he may have another dozen left in him. Who knows at this point? And that's just been another interesting, fun part of this podcast as well, is getting to chart The Undertaker still around unexpectedly. And, you know, my brother-in-law and I, we went to WrestleMania last year and saw him face John Cena and that when he came back out of retirement. So that was fun getting to talk about that. But we'll continue on this journey, and we hope that you'll continue on as well, whatever it ends up looking like. And, of course, I'd be remiss without plugging our prior episodes. You can find those wherever podcasts are found, and especially you can find them at Stitcher.com. Stitcher is the premier podcasting service out there, and they have a free listening service, or they have a premium listening service where you can get tens of thousands of podcasts out there, and you can get them completely ad-free. Nobody likes to hear ads in their podcast. I know I always am quick on that 15-second, 30-second skip button, always going through every ad. I hate listening to ads on podcasts. But Stitcher Premium gives you ad-free listening, and you can get a month for free by going to Stitcher.com/premium and entering the code TALKINGTAKER. That's all one word, no spaces, TALKINGTAKER. You get a month of Stitcher Premium for free at Stitcher.com/premium on us as our gift to you for listening all the time. There's exclusive podcasts on Stitcher Premium. I know Colt Cabana has a special Art of Wrestling podcast that you can only get on Stitcher Premium. There's archives of stuff like some of my favorite podcasts that have nothing to do with wrestling, like Comedy Bang Bang and How Did This Get Made and WTF with Marc Maron. There's a hilarious comedy podcast called Freedom with some of the Comedy Bang Bang folks that's only available on Stitcher Premium. And there's all sorts of awesome stuff. Whatever you listen to, football, baseball, fantasy, sports, all that good stuff. True crime, if you're like my wife and you need another true crime podcast to listen to, you can find that all there. Stitcher.com/premium/TalkingTaker. And support the show in that way. And you can also support the show through picking up a t-shirt. I never thought we'd have podcast t-shirts, but we just kind of did it as a lark, as something for us to wear. And we ended up actually selling a few. And we try to put new ones up there whenever we get a funny idea for one. And you can go to tpublic.com and search for Talking Taker on there and get 35% off anything you order on there. this weekend only. So we always try to let you know when the sales are. You don't need to pay full price. Go get it on discount. We'll still get a bump back from it, but we want you guys to save money on it. Get you a long sleeve tee, Taker Easy, Taker Care of Business, any of that good stuff. King of Gong Style is our newest one on there. Parody of the King of Strong Style shirts. And yeah, go there and help support the show. And don't forget, too, our little Spotify playlist. You can find it in the show notes, the link on there, where I put all of the little bonus songs that we insert into our podcast. If you're ever wondering what that song in the background is, in case you don't recognize it, most of them are pretty obvious. But sometimes you got to think a little bit to find that song, or you may have never heard it. We got a Spotify playlist with all the Talking Taker music on there. We don't get any kickback from that, but it's just a little fun little thing that we made up that we update every week with our music from there, if you want to check that out as well. Without further ado, enough of me rambling on. I didn't realize I'd talk this long, but that's typically what happens when I get on here. I'm going to bring in our buddies from the Bottom Line Wrestling Podcast, Mike and JV. We'll give you the timestamp, but yet, as always, you don't have to watch along with us. You can just enjoy the show with us. And you're going to pick up on the WWE Network at Fully Loaded 1998. In case you were wondering where that weird music at the start of the show came from, it's the music that Taker used only for this pay-per-view, one of those weird ones. But we try to keep that music as accurate as we can at the start of every episode. So we got to bust that one out one more time since we're covering Fully Loaded 98 yet again. He's got a edited one that comes in at SummerSlam. That's, you know, the more one you more recognize from this time period. But yeah. We're going to relive it. We're going to get it their unique perspective on the main event of that show, Undertaker and Stone Cold versus Mankind and Kane. All right, so it is my pleasure to bring on our special guest for this episode, joining me for this watch-along. You guys have heard them. You've heard us plugging them on the show, and hopefully you've listen to them out there. I know we have a lot of people that listen to both the shows, so you guys should be familiar with them. But they are the host of the Bottom Line Wrestling Podcast, going match by match through the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. So give an oh hell yeah up to Mike and JV. Guys, thanks for joining me on the show this week.
Thank you. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. No, I had to return the favor after you guys had me on the show. We did the Fatal 4-Way match with Austin and
Capital
Undertaker.
Carnage.
Capital Carnage. That was it. Yeah.
And the Buried Alive match, the very not so good Buried Alive match.
I'd already blocked that one out of my mind. I forgot we did that. But we had fun doing it. You can hear that over on their podcast if you go back through their archives and do it. But yeah, I'd love for you guys to just introduce yourselves to the audience in case they haven't heard your show. Tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you're from. Maybe you could both tell us kind of how you both became wrestling fans.
Oh, all right. I'll start, JV, I guess. I'll jump in there.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, guys out there, it's Mike Pru from the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at MPRU83. Plug that right there. And we're at Bottom Line Cast on Twitter. Well, to start with the wrestling fandom, it goes my earliest memory. For real, my earliest memory, and it's crazy to think, everyone's going to think I'm BSing, but it's true. My first wrestling memory was when I was 3 years old, about to turn four, just like a week later, I was about to turn four, and I went to the Providence Civic Center in Rhode Island. We both live in Massachusetts, but close to Rhode Island, so we're in between Boston and Providence. And my father took me to wrestling in December of 1986. So I was about to be four because my birthday's in January. And I have my first wrestling memory is Hulk Hogan versus Jake the Snake. And it's a vivid memory of they're having a match, and then it was just a cloud of powder. You know,
yeah.
Jake the Snake had the little thing of powder, and he was about to throw it in Hogan's face, and Hogan punched and hit it and just ripped it open, and all of it went on Jake the Snake instead. And that's my first memory of wrestling.
That's crazy you remember something like that.
That's incredible.
I don't know. I do. And yeah, then I also had the shirt for a while. So that's the memento that helped me remember that event going to it. So as I started to build memories, probably when I was 4, I got the shirt and, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I went to that wrestling event.
And so was your dad a fan? Like, what made it take you to that?
My uncle was more a fan, and my dad brought me too. So they went out for like just to hang out,
yeah,
and brought me along, and also
probably reluctantly.
And also, my dad had a girlfriend at the time, brought that kid too.
Oh wow!
So I got a George the Animal Steel T-shirt.
That's great.
And the other kid got the Jake the Snake Roberts shirt, and I immediately regretted getting George the Animal Steel when I realized how cool the Jake shirt was. That's my earliest memory. And then from there, my uncle played a large role in getting the tapes and providing them with me. And those were his tapes, but not for long because I never gave them back. And I just rewatched them over and over again. So WrestleMania 4 was the one that I probably watched the most over and over again. A lot of kind of crap on that show now, but it's fond memories for me. And the commentary by Gorilla and Bobby is just brilliant on that. So they turn a bad show into a great show through their commentary, which is what we're going to do with this match and what we've done before is turn a bad match into a good match.
Well, I don't know if we can live up to Gorilla and Bobby, but we'll do our best.
Yeah. Big shoes to fill.
But the reason why I say it's crazy to me is because my daughter is 3, about to be 4, and I'm thinking, wow, she's going to start having the memories now. So I need to be careful what I do around the house, what I say around the house, because now she's going to have the memories, because my first memories came at that time. So
yeah, you got to be careful. My first memory is Disneyland when I was like 4 years old, too. That's like the first thing I can remember. And then my first wrestling memory, I was 5 years old watching Hogan on TV. But yeah, you're right, man. You got to be careful now. Well, JV, what about you? What are your you got any 3-year-old wrestling memories?
No, my memory doesn't go far that far back. Brain cells are a little fried over the years. But I don't know what my first wrestling memory is. So, but I you know, I can remember as far back. I was probably like I was born in 84, so like 6 or 7 years old when Hogan won the Royal Rumble.
One of those times.
I remember that because you know, I watched wrestling from a young age. My dad was a big fan, and so were his friends. So they used to watch like all the pay-per-views and stuff. And back in the day, they used to have these things called black boxes.
Oh yeah,
where you basically like stole pay-per-views for free. So one of his buddies had one, and we used to go there for like every pay-per-view from like the early 90s right up through like the early 2000s until like I started like graduating high school and stuff. But so yeah, I mean, I've been a wrestling fan for basically my whole life. I actually probably liked wrestling as far as a form of entertainment. Was probably the first form of entertainment that I actually enjoyed and like loved would probably have been wrestling, honestly, like before like baseball, basketball. I'm a fan of all basically a lot of different forms of entertainment. But, you know, wrestling was number one. And still to this day, you know, I'm a fan. And I think once you're a fan forever.
I think so too. You know,
I think that's just the way it works for wrestling fans.
Yeah. You know, so some people drop in and out, but there's always something that can draw you back in and everyone, I mean, really like, I won't say everyone is a wrestling fan, but you could talk to just about anybody. And at some point in their life, whether they did it or their brother or their sister or their dad or somebody was into wrestling, and everybody knows somebody like Dusty Rhodes or Stone Cold or The Rock. Like it's something that gets made fun of, but everyone really deep in their hearts, I think, does have an appreciation for.
Yeah, it's roots. It has roots deep in culture and entertainment where, so, you know, like you just nailed it. At one point or another in someone's life, they've come across wrestling.
Yeah.
And they can identify, probably name at least 1 or 2 wrestlers.
Yeah. And some of us are sucked in for life, like we all are. But So what made you guys decide to do this podcast where you go through Stone Cold's career? Why'd you pick Stone Cold to do that? And you know, what kind of led you to that decision?
JV, I want to let you take it this time. We talked about
All right. So what led to the decision was, you know, we used to do a podcast a few years back. I want to say like probably like 1996. So like 3 years ago.
No, not 1996.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 2016.
You guys were innovators, man.
Jeez, I was way off. Yeah, like I said, brain cells are a little fried. But yeah, 3 years ago in 2016. We used to do like a wrestling podcast. It was a bunch of us and my brother, Mike, here, and a couple other friends, Marty, Rob, Eric, Brian. So we actually had like this studio space and we used to cover all current events basically. So we'd watch Raw or SmackDown every week and we would cover it, you know, that week in a studio and stuff. And we used to have video. It was pretty cool. But, you know, that didn't last. People get older and you kind of just, you know, other responsibilities come, so it became harder to do that.
Yeah.
So a couple of years later, you know, Mike was still into it. He had wanted to get back into it actually, and reached out to me with this idea to cover and chronicle Stone Cold's career from start to finish as it relates to WWE. And I was reluctant at first. I kept saying, you know, yeah, I'll think about it, because I'm very like, very stingy with time and commitments. So if I'm going to commit to something, I usually make sure I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to do it. I don't want to commit to something and half-ass it. So he got me. He showed me his plan, and he sold me and he reeled me in. And you know, it was mutual because we were both huge Stone Cold fans. I think as most people were, but
sure,
we were really, really big Stone Cold fans. Like that was our guy. And
right, we'd be doing impersonations in school. JV has a great impersonation that he has yet to share.
You want me to finally do it? You got me in a good mood.
Oh.
If Alex doesn't mind, I'll do it.
Dude, I haven't bring done it out.
On our show yet.
All right.
Let me get a little prepped here because I haven't done it in a month.
The thing is, before you even, I'll let you warm up for it, but we used to be in school and he'd turn into Austin and yeah. I would want to like walk away. Because I didn't want to be targeted by the attack of Austin. I would hope one of the other kids was going to get the Austin attack. I was like, I'm going to shut up because then he's going to turn to me and give me the whole spiel.
Yeah, you're smart. You're running away from it.
But it's pretty damn good. Anyway, who knows? Probably everyone's going to be like, that sounds like
Yeah, I haven't done it in a while. But I'll give it a go here. Let's see.
You got back. Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to pop the can of whoop ass all over your god.
Like, that's all I got. I haven't played anything. But.
He usually can go on a run.
But. It's the first time I've done it in months.
That was way better than I was expecting. Even that was all.
Really? You're not just being nice?
I'm not.
Hey, why don't you give a hell yeah?
Oh, hell yeah. That was great, man.
I was talking to Austin. He's going to give a hell yeah.
We'll save that for our show.
Anyway. All right.
Yeah, save some for your show, man.
Look at that. The debut of the Austin impersonation came out on
Talking Take a Hit. Special edition here. That was awesome. I don't have a good Undertaker impression. Best I can do is Paul Bearer, but.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome, Paul Bearer.
Well done. Oh my god, that was threw me off guard there.
We don't want to become nice. Bruce Pritchard though, so we don't do impersonations.
yeah. I don't try.
Dude, I would have been running away in school if someone was doing that too. You could do some prank calls with that.
I used to push the envelope with Mike too, because he was, you know, my best friend, so I'd always go a little too far. That would annoy him. Yeah. I'd say like different things to you that I probably wouldn't say to other people.
And at that point, he was saying what by the time I graduated?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So everything would be what?
Totally annoying.
So
what are you looking
do?
At, you jackass? That kind of thing. I think my impersonation sounds more like Eli Drake.
That's funny.
Doing an impersonation of an impersonation of Stone Cold.
Right.
So we didn't do as much of that in school. I mean, we did a lot of crotch shopping, and we got in trouble for that in school quite a bit. Yeah. But then we would just start wrestling in the middle of class a lot of time, or like before class started when you're getting it. We would just like have matches in the front of class. And I remember one time Travis, he was wrestling another kid, and he just gave him a picture perfect Sweet Chin music. Like the kid sold it perfectly. He smacked his leg just perfectly on time. And we had a substitute teacher that day and walked in and saw that and was about to just like suspend Travis right there. He was like having to explain to her, no, he was like, this is wrestling. He was just selling. He wasn't really doing it. But she was like, could not believe that she didn't really just kick this man in the face.
Great. Man, the things we did.
Oh, yeah. He couldn't get away with that stuff now, I feel like. No way. No. Well, man, that was awesome. We got our Stone Cold impression. I don't know how we can top that. So you guys have done right at 50 episodes, or 50 was this week's 50, right? Or 51?
We did, chronologically, it's 50. We've done like 17... Oh, actually, no. We did 19 special editions.
Okay.
So we've done 50 chronological. So this week coming up, we'll cover episode 51, which is CEO 316.
Yeah, y'all are right in the heat of 1999, and y'all have covered a lot of Undertaker stuff in there as well, a lot of those matches with each other. I guess before we get into our match we're going to cover today, I was just going to ask you one more question. Like, what have you – I guess y'all are kind of near halfway, or maybe you're even past halfway of Stone Cold's career at this point. Like, what have been some of the favorite things that you've gotten to cover, or what have been some of, like, the unexpected – things that you've enjoyed more than you thought you would, or learned about it through that?
A lot of the stuff I enjoy the most came very early. Within, I love 1997 Austin.
Oh, yeah.
So that was some good stuff. You know, you get the Bret Hart feud, the Hart Foundation feud, you get the great match at Survivor Series 96, and then WrestleMania 13 in 97. So that stuff was great. I like just starting from the beginning and the whole build to it. And the unexpected stuff was, I think I went into 1999 not being fond about it, and now I'm actually enjoying it a little bit more than I did at the time.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Jimmy?
I mean, he was on fire at that point in 99, but still – everything else going on is what made me think of 99 as being a bad time. And now it's just, hey, it's wrestling. I'll enjoy it for what it is. And it was pretty fun, even though it was kind of wacky at times.
Yeah, I think 1999 has been awesome. But I think I was probably most shocked just of all the stuff I forgot about in the Attitude Era in general. Because, you know, even though we're covering Stone Cold, we do kind of cover the whole scope of, you know, the status of WWE at that time with a lot of the undercard or midcard even. And there's just a lot of guy wrestlers I had forgotten about, and it was just crazy to see them and remember them and like, wow, like totally forgot about that guy. Like the Blue Meanie, forgot about that guy, and he pops up a lot.
It's so much
Ken
of
Shamrock's
it.
Sister, Ryan Shamrock, he pops on his real sister. But she's on TV for like 6-7 months.
She won't go away.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Every time we think she's gone, she's back on Heat.
Yeah. And then they'll make like just pop culture references for the time. Like they'll mention like Howard Stern when Nicole Bass came out. I was like, holy shit, Howard Stern was in like on top of the world in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool. It's like, you know, looking back in time, as much as we're just covering Stone Cold's career, it's just a whole, we're getting a whole scope of like the 90s all over again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting to see how much the world has changed. And then like, you also see so much stuff that's kind of stayed the same too. Like some of the same things that WWE does, or just some of the same things in the world that are connected to it. It's kind of funny to see how much stuff changes and then how much stuff stays the same too. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, like I said, we are doing here tonight, we're doing the Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin, Fully Loaded 1998. They're teaming up, just like we're teaming up. Our two podcasts are teaming up, and they're going to be taking on Mankind and Kane here in the main event for the Tag Team Championship. So we're going to do a watch along of that together, our two podcasts combined. We're going to give you guys the timestamp here on the WWE Network if you guys want to join us. If you can't watch along with us, that's okay. We always say that on our watch alongs. It's still going to be fun, even if you're just listening to it on your podcast, whatever you're doing out there. So the timestamp is going to be 2 hours, 17 minutes, 27 seconds. So that's 2:17:27 on the WWE Network. If you go, if you're on the app or on the website where it says jump to and it has all the chapters, you can just click right on that chapter for this match, Kane and Mankind versus Undertaker and Stone Cold, and we're going to start directly from that. And once again, that is 2 hours, 17 minutes, 27 seconds. So we'll give you guys a few seconds to get that all queued up. We're going to do some commentary over it. We're going to talk over it, talk about what's happening, talk more about, you know, talk more about our fandom and all that other stuff. And we'll have that for you guys. We'll just do it right now. We'll jump right into it. I'm just kind of rambling here. So we'll just jump into it here. I'll say play, and you guys can start it right when I say play. So I'll give you the countdown here. 3, 2, 1, play. All right. You guys got it?
Yeah. You got Kane's music playing right now. Lights just went out.
Lights out. Kane coming in. And man, guys, there was just so much going on in the WWF during this time. I was looking back at my notes. We were kind of talking about this before we started recording. But as the tag team champs, Kane and Mankind come out here with Paul Bearer, you know, there was, you had, the stuff with Undertaker dressed up as Kane right before this. You had Kane winning the world title, then losing it to Stone Cold on Raw. I mean, it was just one of the hottest times ever in the business.
Yeah, like you were saying, I took a look back at my notes too, and it's just a lot of crazy stuff going on. You got the switcheroo, and we talked a lot about it, and I know you guys talked a lot about it too. Is the whole cahoots thing, is Undertaker in cahoots with Kane. That's the big thing going on in this match, is whose side is Undertaker on? Austin is very adamant of, you know, I want to know who I'm up against. Is it 3-on-1 or is it a tag team match? So that drama is going to play out here in this match.
I know it was such a great storyline too. Like I don't even know if they knew where it was all headed back then, or if they were just writing it week to week. But somehow, it all worked out, and it was something. You were hooked every single week watching this, wanting to know where this was all going.
Yeah, too bad. Yeah, this worked out, but too bad a year later, when Austin and the Undertaker continue a feud that's not as well planned out.
Not quite.
Exact same time of year. And we just covered that on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. The whole greater power. And
oh, God.
Now we're in, like I said, we're into the CEO 316. That's only for a couple weeks.
Fun.
Yeah, it's only a couple weeks, though. And then they're like, all right, we're going to scrap this and move on.
But then, too, I mean, on the as Taker comes out with some pyro, and he's got some weird music that he, like, only uses for this pay-per-view. It's kind of random.
Yeah, this was new, though, because he hadn't been using it previously.
Right? Yeah, but then it changes even more, like, a couple weeks from now. They edit it again, so I don't know what they were thinking. But, you know, on the other channel, too, this was the month that Goldberg won the WCW title and sold out the Georgia Dome doing that.
All right. It's huge.
Oh, yeah. My God. Did,
I don't know. Did Travis go or you go to that?
Yeah. Travis was there at the, you know, up at the top of the Georgia Dome with some other friends of ours. I couldn't go, but he was there for that. Unbelievably.
Wow.
And then they had, you know, Rodman and Karl Malone there during this month too. It was like, I mean, I don't know if the business has ever been hotter than it was really during this time.
No, this is the boom period. There was the 85 through, let's say, like 87. And then here it is again, 98 through 99. Those are the two boom periods. And I don't think it's really happened since. It's been pretty consistent over the past decade, business-wise, but I don't think there's ever been a period. Some people, I guess, would argue CM Punk time was the last big boom, but that was just for internet wrestling community.
Oh, yeah. You know? Nothing like this.
Right? It's not pop culture like it had been back in 98, 99.
Now,
yeah, these are all iconic characters right here. So,
oh yeah, four of the best right here. As your as your boys coming out right now, I saw a foam middle finger in the crowd go up.
Man, can you imagine them selling those things today? Man.
As he's got the elbow pad. I think he had like a staff infection right around the before this match.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because of the Kane blood. Bloodbath. Yep.
As Taker. Oh, meeting in the aisle right here. I love this. Starting things out in the aisle way. Just going at it, man. They don't wait for the bell to ring.
So you probably noticed, because you usually watch everything too, leading up to all the Undertaker stuff. But it's been a theme like basically since Over the Edge with Mankind. That the matches, Austin's matches, always start in the aisle, and they go fighting into the set, and then they go back to the ring. It's the basic setup of an Austin match.
And it makes perfect sense, too. I mean, Undertaker did it a lot, too, but it's like, you got this blood feud. These guys hate each other. Why are they going to wait around for the bell to ring, for the ref to give them instructions? No, they're just going to go fight each other. Austin tells Undertaker what he thinks of them.
Yeah. Middle finger right there. You got a sign in the front row. Who farted?
Who farted? That's a great sign. I'll buy that guy a beer.
Absolutely. Went to all the trouble of making that sign. Now, would this have been a pay-per-view you guys ordered? Or JV, would you have like watched this with that dude who had the black box?
Oh, yeah. We watched. We went there every month, and at times twice a month when, you know, for those years where WCW had a event going in the same month. So I didn't really miss many pay-per-views.
Yeah. Oh, man. You're living the life. Living the dream.
Yeah. A lot of chips, soda, and wrestling.
I missed most pay-per-views. I had to pick my pay-per-views carefully. I had to get the approval.
Same here.
So a lot of ones I would just skip, because my thought at this time was, well, I'm just going to hear everything on Raw, and a lot of the big stuff's going to happen on Raw anyway at this point. Oh, it'd have to be something that really excited me to get the pay-per-view.
I ordered SummerSlam the next month, and because, you know, that whole build-up was friggin' awesome, especially with Undertaker and Austin. So I definitely ordered that one. This one, you know, it was weird. You got a tag team match on top without the world title, and it just felt kind of like filler a little bit. But, man, going back and watching it, like, just the intensity of these four guys, it's just getting me excited watching it.
Oh, yeah. So back to the
Paul Bear making faces out there. I love it.
Back to the pay-per-views for a second, though. That was my major selling point, was you said you get SummerSlam. My major selling point was, oh, Mom, this is, you know, this is one of the big ones at SummerSlam. It's Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. And that would be, okay, you get it. But I couldn't be like, oh, this is in your house again. In your house, you know.
See, I did. I actually ended up getting a lot of February pay-per-views because that's when my birthday was. So I would be like, for my birthday, can I get a wrestling pay-per-view this month? So like a lot of random in your houses and whatever WCW. Super I don't Brawl. Even remember. Yeah, Super Brawl. Watched a lot of those. As Taker gets tagged in here and going up with his brother. So, like you said, they're teasing that whole, are they in cahoots, collusion? What's going on with these guys?
Yep, they're talking about it right now, the cahoots and the collusion. Oh, you got some Russian leg sweep by the Undertaker?
Russian leg sweep.
Oh. Undertaker does the dead man rising.
Kane doesn't do it right there. I don't know why.
Oh, I love it. Austin's laughing as he gets pegged off.
That was great.
That's why they're two of the greatest right there. Because, you know, they didn't plan that beforehand. Undertaker just did it.
Oh, I do have to point That's out perfect. To the Talking Taker audience that my least favorite referee is in the ring right now. That's Earl Hebner.
Yeah, you're not a Hebner fan.
No.
Explain why to our listeners.
I mean, I'm sure he's obviously just doing what he's supposed to be doing, but watching it from kayfabe perspective, he's always doing something wrong. If it's a no DQ match, he'll try to break something up. You know, if no count out, he'll stop counting out. Like, he's just always screwing up in some way. I don't like his mannerisms. He just irks me. So that's the bottom line, basically. But he's good. He obviously is good. He knows what he's doing in there, but sometimes it just comes off as annoying to me.
Yeah. No, I get it. I could see that. I could see where he would rub you the wrong way. Because he does, you know, he almost kind of makes it about himself sometimes,
yes.
too.
Yeah. He pushes the guy.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
Mike says that a lot.
And you know, I especially hated once he started having the beer bashes with Austin and getting on the road drinking beer. It's like, get out of here.
You're just jealous that wasn't you out there.
I think we were all jealous. As Taker pounds away at Mankind in the corner now, and you know, going back, there's Hebner jumping out of the ring at Undertaker.
That's another thing I hate. Don't get out of the ring. Why are you getting out of the ring? Stay in the ring.
Well, that's one thing we've noticed through our podcast. That's something that happens in every Undertaker match. Just about is he'll do a spot where he just looks at the ref and they jump out of the ring, no matter who it is. He just intimidates. That's one of his signature spots, and I love seeing it now. Hebner's son, Brian, like when we're in that era, he will just run and just basically run up the aisle, basically away from Undertaker. It's pretty funny. But man, just think about Mankind. This is a month after Hell in a Cell, getting thrown off the cell and thrown through the cell, and he's still out there in this match. And you can kind of see him. He's still like not right. Like he still looks like he's still hurting from that.
Oh, guaranteed he is. And if you even go back to just the week of Hell in a Cell, he's out there in matches.
Yeah.
I don't think he's on the next Raw, but he's on the taping, which was on Tuesday for the following week, and he's in a match and he's taking bumps. It's like, what is going on with this guy? He's invincible.
It's insane. Like, there's no way that would fly in 2019 after all the injuries he sustained in that.
It's almost like he's on a pain high where it didn't even bother him.
He probably was, man. He's psycho. He's crazy. And, you know, you can see the effects on him nowadays when he tries to walk around, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's no longer in the ring. Austin retired, you know, way too soon. I hate that he had to retire in 2003, but somehow Kane and Undertaker are still working in 2019.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep. It's not always that pretty to watch, but they're still out there.
It's usually not big men that can last that long.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. In most any type of like active piece of entertainment, anything really, big guys usually don't last the longest. Basketball, you know, they usually don't have the long, promising careers. And these guys have proven that wrong.
Oh, yeah. Somehow they've sustained
Although The Undertaker has one or two matches a year for the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. Oh, there's Hebner getting into things yet again.
He's gonna yell at somebody, and it's inevitably gonna be the spot where he's gonna yell at somebody, and somebody's gonna get double teamed. I'm surprised Hebner's not out there right now.
I know, just jumping into things here. So you guys talked a little bit about you would kind of raise hell in school a little bit. Was What were y'all in high school during this time or middle school?
Yeah, was high school. Man. So, high school. 98 would have been my.
Would have been summer heading into your sophomore year. Summer heading into my freshman year. Actually.
Yeah, I was a freshman. You were in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah, the summer. Man. Yeah, it's July.
So. Look at those bumps Mankind's taking. Just insane. So was wrestling huge for everybody in school with you guys during that time, or was it just kind of a few people?
I don't know.
I remember it being big.
It was big.
I remember a lot of kids my age and stuff were into it. Maybe it was just because of the kids we hung out with, but it felt popular, I guess is the word to use.
Yeah, so if you had a t-shirt, it's like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if you.
Yeah, I think it was.
I told the story on the Bottom Line cast about my Austin 316 shirt. And it was.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So it was not after King of the Ring. So I have to point that out to a lot of people because there's this fallacy that right after King of the Ring 96, it was Austin 316 all over the place. And there were no t-shirts sold until January of 97.
Yeah, that's revisionist history, yeah, exactly. Right there.
So I had my shirt in October of 97. I went to this fair called the Brockton Fair in Massachusetts. And there was this clown, you know, yeah, Dunk the Clown. And they make fun of
it. You say Doink the Clown?
No. You got to Dunk the Clown, not Doink the Clown. But he's in a water tank. And you got to throw the ball, knock him down. And he makes fun of you, of course. So I got my Austin 316 shirt on. And I'm all thinking I'm cool with it. And the clown is just making fun of me, saying, "Hey, kid, what is that? Your weight?" Just made me feel like crap. And I wasn't even close to anything like that. I was probably like 150 pounds, but made fun of me.
But you were conscious of your weight as a kid. So it was funny.
So one of my friends, Marty, never lets me down about that. It's like, oh, 316.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, we're missing some good action there in that story. So hopefully people laughed at it.
Oh, no, it's all good. But yeah, this, you know, we talk about Austin being injured a little bit. Mankind's injured. I think Undertaker's a little injured during this time, but somehow, you know, that's probably why they did a tag team match for this, is because everybody's kind of just walking wounded during this time. But they're all just, these are four of the greatest of all time, and they're able to make something out of it.
Yeah, when you go back and you watch it, you don't always think these are Hall of Famous because you just caught up in the moment of watching it again and being part of the storyline. But yeah, when you really think about it, wow, these are four of the greatest all in this one match. There we go. Yep. We see Austin hit that chair shot in the replay.
The blue chair.
Not the blue chew.
That was a great near fall too. Like I remember thinking that, oh, that could be it right there. Yeah, I would say wrestling for us here in Georgia, it felt like everybody was into it during this time in 98. Like that was what we would talk about everybody Tuesday morning, like what happened on Raw, what happened on Nitro, like even some of the girls, it wasn't just the guys, like everybody would talk about it. It was like just this, probably 98, 99, that was just the peak of everything.
What I thought was cool about that time is if you were watching Raw, you might have a friend call you on the phone who's watching Nitro and say, "Hey, turn the channel. This is happening right now." Yeah. Like, you believe that happened? You're going to go to Nitro. Because it's not like, obviously, cell phones weren't prevalent at the time, 98, 99. They existed, but not everybody had them. And I don't even think text messaging was on phones yet. I don't think that was on phones until like 2001, 2002. So you had to call a landline. You had to call and sometimes ask, "Oh, is JV there? Is John there?" So, then,
yep, me and Travis would do that every week. He was more of a WCW guy than I was, so he would always, we would sometimes just stay on the phone for 2 hours just talking, just watching, about like
watch along,
not even talking. Yeah, just like watching and talk during commercials or something. And then your parents would get mad at you and be like, "I need to call somebody."
Yeah, exactly. Get off the phone. They just pick up the other phone and talk over you. Get off the phone.
Yeah. All embarrassed.
And then God forbid anybody need to get on the internet because that would block up the phone line.
Yeah, yeah. Can't go on the phone if you're on the internet. So that's the other thing. It's not like people are watching while they're on the internet either. Internet was shut down. You're watching Raw. You're watching Nitro.
Yeah, there was no other distraction. You didn't have a smartphone in your hand. You didn't have a tablet. Yeah, you're
just watching.
This was on. Yeah, this was it. There's no DVR. You had to catch this shit when it came on.
Oh, you recorded it.
I'll tell you what. During pay-per-views, if I wasn't on pay-per-view, I would try to get online on like the AOL message boards and like try to like get on there, see people posting results and stuff if I couldn't be watching it.
The AOL message board. Awesome.
As the match kind of crawls to a halt here, Mankind got Stone Cold in a headlock. They're, you know, we've got about 5 minutes left, so they're kind of settling the crowd down before they pick up into the finish here. Paul Bearer trying to get the crowd into it. Undertaker watching this thing.
Undertaker at this point, I wrote in my notes, he's looking sleepy. It's like he doesn't tired. Want anything to do with this.
Let's wrap this up.
St- Stone Cold signature stuff here.
Right around this point, JR does make a comment that nice Kane and Mankind have made more exchanges than Austin and Undertaker. So there's probably been like one or two tags between Austin and Taker. Kane and Mankind are working like a solid unit.
And it's funny, man. Austin, you know, he's you kind of forget about it, but he, you know, cut his teeth doing tag team matches. He knows how to work this formula, man. Him and Pillman did that stuff for years.
We watched him in tag matches a bunch in 97 and then again here in 98. A lot of times he's like right back in the groove of being a tag team wrestler. He works very well with Mankind, even with Shawn Michaels the year before. It's like, yep, he knows what he's doing.
Dude love. And that's one thing we've loved about Undertaker. He kind of is pretty awesome in tag matches too. And you don't think of him that way, but he's one of the best when it comes to making that hot tag and just coming in and running wild on people.
Yeah, he was on the tag team for a little while in WCW.
A little bit, very briefly.
What was the name?
Skyscrapers.
Yep.
I always think of that picture of Teddy Long standing in the middle of Dan Spivey and the Undertaker with the thumbs up, but it doesn't look like a thumbs up. I know that's not the kind of content you have on your show, but that's why I was vague about it. Also,
Kane and Stone
this is getting towards the finish here, it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a stunner on the Kane.
There
going for the pinfall. Nope. Mankind gets in and gets the mandible claw on Austin.
Cuts the claw.
And Undertaker is doing nothing.
Oh!
Ah, man. They're teasing the tension between these guys.
Are they in cahoots?
Are they friends? Yep. Are they in cahoots? Are they enemies? What's going on? This is such a great storyline, man.
Know what I'm sad about? And you guys talked about this a lot, that there was no Paul Bearer shoe shot.
No, there's nothing like that in this match. Oh, signature spot. He doesn't pull it out. I see a few SCU Stone Cold University shirts in the crowd.
The worst. The worst shirt.
I have one of those.
I hate those shirts.
I thought it was.
I'm not a fan either.
I loved it in 1998, though.
Well, that's the only shirt that was available at the time to buy. So I was like, yeah, I got the Austin shirt.
Yep.
Like, not the good one, though.
Nope.
Oh, Undertaker finally reaching.
He doesn't want to do it.
Oh, man. Hey, Earl Hebner, where are you when we need you to be a jerk and get in the middle?
Yeah.
I think I just walked over there. No urgency.
So there's no tag here.
But
Undertaker's in the ring.
No, there wasn't.
Oh, wow.
He just
unloaded. Look at that boot to the face from Undertaker on Mankind. Oh, we got a low blow. A mule kick.
Big choke slam to his brother.
That's your brother.
Mankind's about to take one too.
No, Mankind's like, please be careful.
Everything hurts. Oh, God.
All right.
And muscle and pain up for that tombstone.
Hey, JV, you just said it. That's your brother. That's your brother.
Yeah.
There it is.
Nice victory. Taker gets the pin.
See the crowd just erupt. Everybody gets on their.
Taker really took
control.
I
like how the Undertaker earned the victory.
Yeah, it was a nice touch. And he is grabbing both the tag team titles.
He's like, I won this. These are my belts. It's like a year later when Billy Gunn is in the a six-man tag match and he takes the belt from Bradshaw. It's like, I won this match. I'm the champ now.
Don't you dare compare Billy Gunn to the Undertaker.
I just read the story.
Not have that.
Too far, man.
When I was coming out of my mouth, I said, so I'm talking about Billy Gunn. Crap.
But this is so cool because, you know, both the guys, the crowd loves Undertaker, the crowd loves Austin, but there's this tension between them as the show goes off the air. Like, you know, they both are kind of against each other. Who are you going to cheer for? Who do you really support here as Taker walks out with those tag titles?
And the match is already set for SummerSlam. So we know they're having the match. So, yeah, like you said, who are you going to go for? But JV and I covered it, and you guys probably had the same view as that. Kind of left yourself like, They're both baby faces. What, like, who do I root for? it's like you either had to be an Austin guy or you had to be an Undertaker guy, and that was it. You didn't really choose a side you had somebody you totally rooted for no matter what.
And I think they kind of pulled the trigger like the week before SummerSlam, where they finally basically made Undertaker a heel for that. But yeah, that match, you know, the build-up's really fun, but the match itself doesn't quite live up to the hype as much. It's not terrible, but it's not what you wanted it to be because of the build-up. But man, there was nothing hotter at the time.
That was, yeah, great time. Summer. I love summer wrestling when I was a kid. It was just like, because you could watch everything. Stay up late for everything.
Yeah, you could really commit.
Oh, yep. Great stuff there.
It was. Well, thank you guys for joining us. I hope you guys out there listening enjoyed it, going back to it. Of course, we have both done episodes on this match on our separate podcast. Back in the archives, you can listen to it. You guys listening to us, you know where to find all of that stuff. But Mike and JV, I'd love to give you guys a chance to plug your podcast yet again. Tell everybody where to go, where to listen to it. Tell everybody what's coming up next. I know you guys actually have two podcasts, so why don't you plug both of those?
All right, cool. So it's the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, as you hear from time to time here on the Talking Taker. And coming up on Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, we're covering episode 51 for us. So we just passed our 50 episode milestone. And we are currently in June of 99, and we'll be covering the CEO 316. And that'll come out on Wednesday of next week. So every Wednesday we drop around usually 6 a.m. and sometimes at 3:16 a.m. So depends on if it's ready early enough.
That's perfect.
So that's coming out. This past week, we did a watch-along special edition of the King of the Ring match from June 99, Austin versus the McMahons in a ladder match. So that's what we have just currently going on with the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. And our other show, as Alex just alluded to, is called the Extreme ECW Live Cast. Now, this is not something that's just freely available, and it's not something we're making money on. It's just something that we do to help out a friend of ours, and that is Mike Bills from the Book in the Territory podcast. And he has a Patreon, and they have a lot of great stuff on Book in the Territory that's worth checking out. So if you want to hear more of JV and I talk about wrestling, talking about extreme, not even extreme at this point, but it's Eastern Championship Wrestling, we have that Extreme ECW Livecast. It's watch along style. We watch two episodes every 2 weeks. And currently we are in 1993 in the throes of some if you just turn it on, if you went to the network and you just picked an episode from 93, you would probably shut it off and be like, I'm not watching that ever.
Yeah, what is this?
But if you join the journey with us, you begin to appreciate some things as you go along the ride and learn about some characters maybe you didn't know. You get to see the birth of some characters like the Sandman, and you can see Shane Douglas arrive and become the champion.
Early Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman, yep. So it's gradually building. So we start in April 93, and this upcoming week we're going to be in September building up to one of their supercards, which was Ultra Clash 93. So we'll be doing a special on that in 2 weeks. So it's definitely something JV and I love doing. So it's another one of those things that JV said earlier about the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, is that I had to kind of talk to him about it, get him into it, because JV is very precious with his hobbies and his time. So the way I sold it to him for Bottom Line Cast, I had to present to him like, hey, this is serious. I've written like 10 episodes already. So here's the documents. It's all planned out. Here's the stuff that you need to watch. And this is what I'm going to keep doing. I'll present it to you. And you just have to show up and you can do the editing and all that. You know, we're a team there.
Yeah.
With the Extreme Wrestling Cast, it was the same kind of thing. It was like, oh, ECW. I never even watched it. Because JV never watched ECW before.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
yeah, I wasn't allowed to. I was a little bit sheltered in that aspect. My mom was we got the green light from my father. We could watch WCW, WWE, but yeah, couldn't get the green light on ECW.
Yeah, that's understandable.
From Ma Dukes.
And so, I had to tell him, you know, this is not the ECW that is popular. We're going to start from the beginning.
No,
and he was all on board with, all right, we'll start from the beginning. Because I even suggested, let's start with 95. He's like, nah, let's just do it from the beginning. So we're doing that on the Book of the Territory Patreon feed. It's a $5 tier. But like I said, there's a lot of good stuff on there to check out. They do a show on NWA Saturday nights that they cover every Thursday. They do Smoky Mountain Wrestling on Sundays. And then they have a whole bunch of stuff on their Patreon. So check them out. And also check out the Extreme ECW Livecast. Thanks for that plug, Alex.
Nah, I mean, it's going to make it so much more rewarding when you get to the good stuff,
oh, yes,
too, when you've sifted through all the garbage. Because yeah, some of those early, I mean, I've watched some of them, and they are, there's something else. But very good. And where can they find all that on social media as well? I don't know if you said
okay,
that.
Okay, so BottomLineCast is at BottomLineCast on Twitter, also at BottomLineCast on Facebook. You can go to our personal Twitters. I'm at MPRU83. JV's at John Van Damage with an H. John with an H. John Van Damage. And the Extreme Cast is at Extreme Cast on Twitter.
Very good.
We don't have a Facebook. That's just the Twitter at Extreme Cast.
Okay. Are y'all y'all gonna go through the sci-fi days and all that stuff?
Oof, we know all that years and years away, so we don't know. I'll be probably mid-40s by then, so
maybe divorced.
Yeah, are you kidding me? You're watching sci-fi ECW?
When does this end? It's been 13 years. What the hell?
It's funny. My wife was just saying earlier. She's like, I don't care about the recording, but the research time you do is too much.
I don't do nearly as much as you, and Jess is like, not about it. She's like, what do you mean? She doesn't comprehend like how it works sometimes. So I'm just like, yeah, I got to do it again.
Yeah, that's how we feel about this podcast too. Like, what did we get ourselves into? I was looking at it.
I can't let the fans down. I got to
go.
We can't. I gotta keep
it's
going.
Rewarding. It's like we're putting it out
the dozens
there.
Dozens of them. The dozens of fans.
Yeah, the dozens. Yeah, exactly. I'm just happy to see like a decent number of people, you know. So
yeah, exactly.
So I'm a school teacher, so I have, you know, about 25 kids in a class. So when I look at the numbers, I'm like, oh, it's like I have like 4 or 5 classes that I'm thinking about. So close to Boston.
Nice.
Yep, we're about the same. We're about the same, but it's just fun that anybody besides ourselves listens to it, so that's cool. And it's been awesome to connect with you guys through the podcast. That's been the favorite part for us, is just connecting with random folks we never would have talked to or met through doing this stuff. So that's been really cool. You guys have been so gracious to us and always plugging our show, and we greatly appreciate that. I was gonna ask you too, like, what are you guys, do you know, like, when Stone Cold is done in the ring? Like, he's done so much other stuff since that time, like guest referees and random stuff on Raw. Are y'all gonna cover that sort of stuff, or you have plans for that, or what's going on?
In my head, I have plans to try to do that stuff, but really condense it.
Yeah, sure.
So
sure.
Maybe you'll have an episode where it's like 10 years of that kind of stuff put into one.
So, yeah.
I don't know. So try to.
All the GM, sheriff stuff.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to go to that. So yeah. We're going to... The ending point, basically, from the get-go was right after that time in 2002 with Eric Bischoff and all that.
Yeah.
Contest, the beer drinking contest and all that. Well,
the redneck Olympics.
Right, exactly.
I think it was.
Yeah, so the stuff beyond that, maybe as like a special episode, not even... You know, not even like episode 100, just special edition Austin randomness or something, you know.
Yeah, it's
kind of covering.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, and then we'll have to see what we do from there. You know, we got the Extreme Live Cast that, you know, potentially could become available. It's on the Patreon feed, but you know, as time goes on, we'll start releasing some of the early ones, I think.
Well, we're available if you want to talk about ECW December to Dismember, because we were there for that
show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. we're going to do an episode for it on our podcast, even though Taker wasn't there, but we were, it was the only pay-per-view to ever come from Augusta, Georgia. So we were there for it. And, the reason why it was the only one to come from Augusta. We'll talk about that one on our show. And, we don't, you know, we always joke about it. You guys made a much better decision going for Stone Cold than we did for Undertaker, because somehow he's still going. So we're still adding episodes to ours. But we love it. We're thankful, and I'm thankful for you guys for being on the show. You guys are awesome. Appreciate you joining us. And I want to encourage all our fans to go check you guys out. If you don't already, go listen to both of their shows. And you can join us next week as we keep our podcast going. We're going to close up 2005, and Travis will be back in on the episode. We're going to cover Armageddon 2005, Hell in a Cell between Undertaker and Randy Orton, and close out their big feud that took up so much of 2005. So that's going to be a fun one. Don't miss out. Join us for that. Mike, JV, y'all got anything else?
I think that's it for me. Thank you very much for having us on, and it's nice talking to you again. I love doing this, so we'll have to find a way to get you back on the show at some point, and we'd love to do this again, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll definitely happen.
Yeah, we need to get Travis in here and do all four of us in here and make that happen. Great.
Four-man booth. That's going to be tough, bro. We're going to try it. We can make it work.
I think we can do it.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. And since Travis isn't here, I'll go ahead and say it. Take her easy.
Austin realized he needs to make the tag, but can he do all he can to prevent it? Austin.